Hello and welcome to our site. I've entitled our sermon this morning, The Bumpy Road of Obedience. The Bumpy Road of Obedience. Please turn with me if you have a Bible to the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, and chapter 32. We read together the first 12 verses of Deuteronomy chapter 32. Moses recited the words of his song from beginning to end in the hearing of the whole assembly of Israel. And this is it. Listen, O heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching fall like rain, and my words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like the abundant rain on tender plants. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. O praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God, who does no wrong, upright and just is he. They have acted corruptly toward him. To their shame they are no longer his children, but a warped and crooked generation. In this way you repay the Lord, O foolish and unwise people. Is he not your father, your creator, who made you and formed you? Remember the days of old. Consider the generations long past. Ask your father and he will tell you, your elders, and they will explain to you. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he divided all mankind, he set up boundaries for the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob his allotted inheritance. In a desert land he found him, in a barren and howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them on its pinions, the Lord alone led him. No foreign god was with him. Just so far, and may God bless his word to us this morning. The bumpy road of obedience. I'm sure most of you who are listening probably know that road pretty well. The authentic believer in Jesus, the true follower of Christ, will find, like the disciples Jesus chose when he was on earth, that it's not an easy road to travel, the road of obedience. In the Old Testament, we have the telling example of Moses, one of the greatest leaders the world has ever seen. In Psalm 103 and verse 7, the writer makes a very loaded statement. It is simply this: God made his ways known to Moses. God made his ways known to Moses. God made his ways known to Moses. He certainly did, didn't he? If you know the history of the children of Israel under the leadership of Moses, from the moment God spoke out of a burning bush, a bush in the desert that was in flames but never stopped burning, Moses was tending his father-in-law's sheep in this distant wilderness near Mount Horeb when God revealed himself to Moses as the I Am, whoever will be. And from that moment of divine encounter, Moses embarked on the bumpy road of obedience to God. In my message this morning, I simply want to highlight 12 steps on the bumpy road of obedience. See if you can recognize them. Here is the first one. He stirs up our nest to get us on his agenda. Rather like an eagle will stir up the nest, literally begin by taking it apart sometimes, to get the young ones on their way. They were made to soar, not stay, and so were you, so was I, the moment we were born anew into the family of God. We are under divine orders. We are commissioned to fulfill a high destiny. It is to know Christ and to make him known. God knows how to stir up the nest to get us on his agenda. In Sunnyside, Pretoria, South Africa, in July 1966, God stirred up our nest to get us on his agenda. He did it again in 1975 and 1978 and 1983 and 1984 and 2008 and 2009 and 10 and 11 and 12. He's good at it. Moses even wrote a song about it. It has 43 verses. It's the song about Yahweh and his chosen people. And it says in verse 11 of Deuteronomy 32, like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them on its pinions, the Lord alone led him. Fast forward to the infant church in the first century that was nesting in Jerusalem, as it were, when God's call was to disciple the nations, to be a light to the Gentiles. That was always his call for the Jewish nation. And God stirred up persecution against the Christian church now, so that they were scattered everywhere. And as they went, they were gossiping the gospel, the good news about Jesus. Yes, God has his ways and means of stirring up our nest to get us on his agenda. Have you experienced that? Young people, when God gets ready to move you onto his agenda, he will stir up your nest. Make sure you pay attention when he does that, because your destiny depends on that. The second step in the bumpy road of obedience as a follower of Jesus, as one who's seeking to glorify and honor God, God nudges you to the place where faith must operate. He stirs up the nest, and then he nudges you to the place where faith must operate. He takes Moses and the children of Israel to the Red Sea, Pharaoh's armies bearing down on them. The writer to the Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 24 to 29, if you'd like to turn there with me in your own Bible, the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 11 and verses 24 to 29. This is what we read. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. In the desert, there is no water. By faith, Moses must obey the command to get water from a great rock. There is no food. Ever been there? By faith, Moses sees God supply manna in the wilderness for 40 years. Manna, quail, water, clothing, shelter. God teaches us to fly by bearing us up on his wings until we learn that all our resources are found in him. We trust God to do what he alone can do, by obeying what he himself has revealed. God always brings us to the point where we must exercise faith when we're on the bumpy road of obedience. He stirs up our nest, and he nudges us to the place where faith must operate. Because Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You see, we either believe God and follow him, or history will record the story of our bleached bones in the desert. Only Joshua and Caleb got into the promised land because they followed the Lord wholeheartedly. God is on mission in this world until his glory covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. Will you join him or die in a spiritual wilderness? The third step on the bumpy road of obedience, this is good news. God takes ordinary people and does extraordinary things with them. On the bumpy road of obedience, God delights in taking ordinary people like you and me and doing extraordinary things with them. All of Jesus' disciples were ordinary men. You wouldn't have chosen many of them for your team. Donald Trump wouldn't have chosen any of them. God took an ordinary man, Moses, and used an ordinary stick to part the waters of the Red Sea and bring forth water from a rock to quench the thirst of over a million Israelites, rather, and did it for 40 years. So any old bush, any old stick will do, even a broomstick. Once Moses surrendered his staff to the Lord, it became the staff of God. Have you ever noticed that in Exodus chapter 4, the story of Moses? Chapter 4 and verse 2, it's Moses' staff. By the time we get to verse 20 of Exodus 4, it's the staff of God that's in his hand. Hallelujah. An ordinary bush, an ordinary man, an ordinary stick. But look what God did when it was surrendered to his will and purpose. In the bumpy road of obedience, we have to surrender what God has placed in our hands to his will and his purpose. Why is this just as encouraging as 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 29? Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in these verses. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called, that is, called by God into a relationship with him as a follower of Jesus. Paul says, not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast only in the Lord. Hallelujah. God takes ordinary people like you and me, and he does extraordinary things through them. Yes, you autocrats and oligarchs and power-hungry sharks, take note of that. God chooses the foolish, the weak, and the lowly. That's great news for me. Isn't it great news for you too? God takes ordinary people and things and does extraordinary things with them. And now here's step number 4 on the bumpy road of obedience. God expects you to obey his instructions, whether they make sense or not. This is sometimes a very difficult bump to get over. Listen to it. The kingdom of God will often defy reason and logic. The kingdom of God will often defy reason and logic. Did you hear that? Moses knew his snakes. For years he had probably either killed them with a rock or pinned them down with his staff just behind the head. But God says, pick up that serpent by its tail. When he did it, it turned back into his staff, his shepherd's crook. The priests carrying the Ark of God were told to step into the flooding river. Didn't make sense at all, did it? The Apostle Peter knew that you can't walk on water or catch fish simply by throwing your net on the other side of the boat. Didn't make sense from a human perspective for us to leave Johannesburg and relocate to a war zone where people were getting killed every day. But God expects you to obey his instructions, whether they make sense to you or not. Like the stewards at the wedding of Cana of Galilee, who were told to fill the water jars to the brim and then serve the water to the guests. But Jesus' mother had learned that if you do what Jesus says, you must do it, and it'll all turn out just fine, like the best wine. Yes, sometimes it doesn't work out like a bed of roses or a case of rosé. And so here's the lesson number five. Step number five on the bumpy road of obedience. When you obey what God is saying to you, things often get worse. Yes, don't be surprised by that. When you obey what God is saying to you, things often get worse. When Jesus obeyed his Father's will in baptism, and the Father voiced his approval for his beloved Son, the next moment God allowed Satan, in fact, the text says, Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by Satan for 40 days and 40 nights without food. God told Moses to put his hand into his cloak and it came out leprous. When God called us from Harare to Cape Town at the end of 1983, our first year in Cape Town was the hardest of all the years of our ministry in some ways. When you obey God, things won't always turn out the way you thought they would. Sometimes things get worse. But God is not expecting you to understand. He's expecting you to trust and obey. If you understood it, it wouldn't be faith. So here's the lesson. He uses your obedience to move you into what he is doing. He uses your obedience, even when things get worse, to move you into what he is doing. When you obey and things get worse, start praising God, like Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail, because God is probably about to reveal something or do something far beyond what you can imagine. Now here's lesson number six, or if you like, step number six in the bumpy road of obedience. God only leads one step at a time. Usually God tells you just enough for you to know what to do next. Have you found that? Usually on the bumpy road of obedience, God tells you just enough to know what to do next. He didn't reveal the whole nine yards, the whole story to Moses, every step to Moses. And so instead of revealing all that lay ahead, here's a 10-step plan, Moses, to success and prosperity. No, God didn't say anything like that. Contrary to popular opinion, God doesn't usually tell us much about what will happen in the future. He gives us just enough to walk by faith. He showed Moses three signs, but he never told Moses what he was in for, that he would need 10 plagues, each one more devastating than the last, to free the Israelites from their bondage in Egypt. Have you learned that lesson? God gives us just enough to walk by faith. If you don't respond the next step, he may withdraw his hand and you may forfeit the blessing he has in store for you. You must obey one step at a time. When King Saul disobeyed the next step, he lamented, God has departed from me and doesn't answer me anymore. The very people Moses led out of Egypt forfeited the promised land. How many people in the churches I have pastored over the last 55 years will end up in the same sad situation? I wish there was not even one, but sadly, there could be many who will forfeit the blessing that God had in store for them because they didn't obey the next step that God had revealed. The blessings of God are for those who trust and obey, bumpy as the road may be. I've time to only briefly mention the next steps along this road. Step number seven, every step of faith and obedience will be tested. On the bumpy road of obedience, every step of faith that you take, every step of obedience that you take will be tested. Moses found that for 40 years. And then the next step on the bumpy road of obedience, number eight, the seed has to die if there's going to be a harvest. Changing the metaphor here, to an agricultural one. The seed has to die if there's going to be a harvest. Jesus said, if any man would follow after me, let him deny himself and take up his own cross daily and keep on following me. Unless a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, is buried, it will bear abundant fruit. The road of obedience, dear friend, is the way of the cross. Death to self, death to my will. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German theologian who was martyred at the end of the Second World War, he said, and I quote, Jesus bids us come and die. Jesus bids us come and die. You have to lay down your life as Jesus laid down his. Be willing to lay down your life for Christ. To say, not my will, but yours be done. The Apostle Paul put it so well when he said, I count my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given to me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. I have been crucified with Christ, says the Apostle Paul. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ now lives in me. And the life I now live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The seed has to die if there's going to be a harvest. We have to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily. That means being willing to put to death anything that is contrary to the will of God or offensive to God, and to keep on following on the road of obedience. Here's bump number 9. This is another really good news bump. Never despise small beginnings, and never despair of your weakness. The Apostle Paul put it this way, and it's the theme of my life. When I am weak, then I am strong. Paul found the road of obedience a very bumpy one. If you read of his trials and testings and the sufferings that he went through, from shipwreck and beatings to imprisonment and all kinds of things that came his way in the pathway of obedience, more bumps than I could ever wish to imagine going through. But the end result was, Paul said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Never despise small beginnings, and never despair of your weakness, because God is able to work through our weaknesses to bring about his divine purpose for our lives and through our lives for others. Bump number 10, recognize that the wheat and the weeds will grow together until it's harvest time. On the bumpy road of obedience, Jesus reminds us that the wheat and the weeds will grow together until it's harvest time. Spurious Christians, fake preachers, false prophets, and fruitless branches will be with us until Jesus comes again. Our task is to plow a straight furrow of trustful obedience to the will of God and the truth as it is in Jesus. So keep your guard over your life, your doctrine, your witness to the very end. God will deal with the weeds at harvest time. So don't spend your time trying to pull up weeds. Concentrate on sowing the good seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, trusting the Holy Spirit to bring about fruit in his way and his time. But recognize the weeds will grow with the wheat until it's harvest time. Jesus said so, and it will be so. And then number 11 on the bumpy road of obedience, the language of the kingdom of God is love. The language of the kingdom of God is love. On the bumpy road of obedience, the thing that is paramount is unconditional love. Loving God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, loving your neighbor as yourself, loving one another in the body of Christ, just as Christ has loved us. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that believing on him, you might not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus says, as I have loved you, so now you must love one another. And then finally, the character of the kingdom is holiness. The character of the kingdom is holiness. That means being separated from self and sinfulness to God and holiness. From Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22, the character of the kingdom of God is holiness. Holiness unto the Lord is our watchword and song. God's love is a holy love, and without holiness, no one will see the Lord. This is the word of God. And so to sum it up, here are the bumps. The bumpy road of obedience, it works like this in the Christian life. First of all, God stirs up our nest to get us on his agenda. And then he nudges us to the place where faith must operate. And then he takes ordinary people and does extraordinary things with them. He expects you to obey his instructions, whether they make sense to you or not. And when you obey, sometimes things get even worse. And God only leads one step at a time. And every step of faith and obedience will be tested. And the seed has to die if there's going to be a harvest. Never despise small beginnings and never despair of your weakness. Recognize that the wheat and the weeds will grow together until it's harvest time. The language of the kingdom is love, and the character of the kingdom is holiness. These are some of the steps on the road to obedience. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for the truth in Jesus. We thank you for the way in which your word tells it like it is. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you never hid from us, that you never veiled the truth from us, that you showed that discipleship is discipline, that it's not an easy road to travel. But we thank you, Heavenly Father, that in the pathway of obedience, there is freedom and incredible reward, both in this life and for all eternity. And so help each one of us, dear Lord, to trust and obey, to finish our course, to fight the good fight to the very end, and grant, dear Lord, that Jesus may be glorified in every part of our life and being, witness and service. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Heavenly Father, the communion and comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. All to Jesus I surrender, all to thee I freely give.
I surrender all.
All to thee, my blessed.